This is WHQR News.
On primary election day, Governor Roy Cooper announced the first preliminary case of the coronavirus, or COVID-19. As of today, Thursday, March 5th, the number of cases in the U.S. is 100, with a total of 10 deaths.
North Carolina is now operating under a state of emergency. With 7 presumptive cases of coronavirus, state officials say it's a critical moment in the outbreak. This as test kits are on back order and the number of cases is expected to rise. Right now, the only way a person in North Carolina can get tested for COVID-19 is to have a fever.
We're peppered with questions from commissioners on this health topic. Lisa Brown is the Public Health Preparedness Coordinator for New Hanover County. She says in the event of the virus reaching the area, the county is prepared and it will be treated like any other serious health emergency.
It's very similar, the planning process that you go through. It's just, instead of talking through what are the concerns with a hurricane and what are the things that we're going to talk through and work together as a team on, we're talking about with a disease outbreak, what are those things that we'll work through. And so it's very much the same structure, the same partners, and we met earlier today, in fact, and had a large meeting with all of our partners to discuss these very things.
She adds one more closely.
The University of North Carolina Wilmington has extended its spring break through next week. Nearly all classes, say officials in a campus email, will happen online or with alternative assignments that are not face-to-face beginning March 23rd. New Hanover County Schools Chief Communications Officer Ann Gibson says they are postponing field trips that require travel outside the district, as well as anything that will draw large crowds, like the upcoming Best Foot Forward event.
Because this usually draws a large crowd, up to 1,400, and brings 14 schools together. So we're going to postpone that and hopefully reschedule it shortly. We're monitoring the situation hour by hour because it's changing so rapidly, but there's no decision to
So far, Brunswick County has only one confirmed case of COVID-19, but Leland Communications Officer Hillary Snow says the city has been working on safety plans for a while.
Essentially on Friday, as we were preparing more and more for the possibility of, you know, a positive case in our area at some point, we decided to follow the county's lead with closing our parks programs and events. And part of that includes Leland Cultural Arts Center. That building will be closed to the public beginning Monday. We have a lot of classes.
Restaurant owners got the order no one wants to hear. It's time to close. Justin Smith owns 3 restaurants downtown: The Husk, Dram and Morsel, and Yosaki.
It didn't come as too much a surprise. Obviously, I think that this is something that needs to happen, but the unfortunate mix of it all and what we were struggling with, we had had a slow plan to close by this Saturday, is the employees who we just ended up having a meeting with. We just don't have a lot of information, and because everything's moving so quickly, to give to them on how to secure them in the very near future. Most of these folks that work for us can't live without one check. And we don't know if there's a check in the next 9 weeks.
Smith says his restaurants will offer takeout for customers for the foreseeable future. 2 blocks up Front Street at the Front Street Brewery.
A motion passed by council members Tuesday now means any benefits eligible city employee who was unable to work from home and has used all paid leave may take up to 10 additional days. That is until Governor Roy Cooper lifts the state of emergency. The leave will be paid back to the city through a payroll deduction. During a discussion of the resolution, council member Charlie Rivenbark brought up a concern.
One of our firefighters or one of our police officers contracts this virus in the performance of their duty, to me, that should be treated a little bit differently.
Rivenbark moved to have language incorporated into the resolution, ensuring that city employees who contract the virus on the job will receive paid administrative leave. That motion passed unanimously. Mayor Bill Sappho also asked about the coronavirus testing process during a presentation by Intergovernmental Affairs Coordinator.
The number of positive COVID-19 cases is escalating rapidly on a daily basis in North Carolina, and that's why state officials say they can't wait to take even more aggressive action.
Today, I have signed a stay-at-home order for the entire state of North Carolina. Enforcement begins at 5 p.m. on Monday, but we urge you to start as soon as you possibly can. It's what we have to do to save lives. It has the force of law.
Exceptions include going to a job and picking up food or medicine. Gatherings of 10 people or more are now prohibited by law. Keeping a 6-foot distance between people is also part of the order. The order will be in effect for 30 days. Officials say credentials are not necessary for businesses to operate, but they should review the order.
Mayor Bill Sasso says the state and local restrictions put in place are painful, but the best chance we have to keep the virus numbers down. He says local officials are doing all they can.
Trying to speak with one unified voice and telling people to stay in and try to avoid going out if by all means possible. And I think the vast majority of people are hearing to that. Some are not. But we think that the more that people can stay at home and stay out of, as we say, the line of fire with this virus, the better off we all are and we get through this thing much quicker. But it's been obviously a learning curve for all of us.
Michael grew up in Wilmington, North Carolina, but now works as an ER nurse in a major metropolitan hospital. At his request, we've changed his name and left out some identifying details. Before Michael's hospital had coronavirus protocols fully implemented, he remembers treating one patient in particular.
I had a patient who we had high suspicion for coronavirus, and they were talking, they were totally alert and oriented, just kind of chilling in their room, and I gave them some medications and went off to see my other three patients.
But about 45 minutes later, things had changed.
They were totally unresponsive, gasping for breaths. They wouldn't open their eyes. I couldn't get their attention whatsoever.
Michael's team needed to intubate immediately.
The problem is when you intubate somebody, all those bugs, all those germs.
The physical health of Americans. Experts warn that people need to take care of themselves mentally as well, now more than ever. Social isolation, a troubled economy, and an uncertain future make for more than abandoned airports and empty grocery shelves. Fear, anxiety, stress, and loneliness are all side effects of the pandemic and the social distancing measures that come with it. But not all hope is lost, according to Dr. Antonio E. Puente, professor of psychology at UNCW. He says that even with social distancing, a lot of the things we need emotionally can still be incorporated into our daily routine, like exercise, structure, and even human connection.
This is time to increase your communication with others, whether it's through social media or even just getting on the telephone and calling someone that you haven't gotten around to calling because you've been too busy.
Puente's biggest word of advice, don't allow your feelings of
gardening, tossing a frisbee, keeping their distance. Tonight, no one will be going out to dinner at a favorite restaurant or seeing the latest movie at the theater. For Marisol Sanchez and her three kids in Wilmington, things are going okay for now.
As of right now, today, things can change tomorrow. So there is an anxiety there, but as of today, I'm very, very grateful to say that the company I work for and the businesses that I run are all sustaining at current income. Again, that can change. And and I have to say thank you to all the essential workers that are out there making it happen for the rest of us.
She is very busy.
Well, I have three children and they normally live with me. My youngest is currently at my ex-husband's home, so this is the longest I've gone without seeing her. So that's new, and I don't like that. I mean, I'm happy that she's safe and sound, and then I have my other two who are high school seniors. They're here with me all the time.
For her daughter, Heather, a senior in high school, online classes are underway, but not really.
Essentially, I think one girl asked a really poignant question when our teacher was explaining to us how the rest of the semester would work. So she was basically like, so we're going to be doing all these assignments you give us, even though none of them are going to count towards our actual grade. And my teacher was pretty much just like, yep, you got to do it. If you want to like know how to function in college, you're going to have to do these assignments. But our grades are in.
Regional Medical Center, and he's infectious diseases consultant for Wilmington Health. Dr. Kamitska, welcome to Coastline.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Lisa Brown is Public Health Preparedness Coordinator for New Hanover County, and she also joins us now. Lisa Brown, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
And we're inviting you to join the conversation. Are you eager to see North Carolina reopen? Does the prospect of reopening scare you? Why or why not? Tell us about it with an email on this Wednesday, May 6th at coastline@whqr.org. And of course, we still aren't taking phone calls while I'm broadcasting from home. Lisa Brown, explain to us, first of all, why reopening is phased. What's the logic here?
Sure. So part of the reason for a very deliberate phased approach is that it's going to take a little while before we really see what impact increasing activity has on our case counts and our communities. So it's going to take-
Brunswick County shares its southwest border with South Carolina. Lisa Pokaluk, a single working mom with two children, lives just a few miles north of that border in the town of Shallotte. She is concerned that South Carolina's move to quickly return to normal puts others in the area at risk.
It does. I'm actually somebody who self-quarantined early. My dad's in hospice at home, and so he's 87, and you know, if any of us get it, it's done. You know, he's really going to be in bad shape.
She says North Carolina has done well so far during the pandemic.
You know, we are in a situation here in North Carolina where we've been pretty fortunate, especially in these rural coastal counties, where we haven't seen a lot of COVID activity. And I'd like to keep it that way now that we're on the verge of going into what would be our tourist season.
It's hard to know what the new normal will look like whenever we get there, but going to the doctor may never be the same. Dr. Sarah Gore is an OBGYN at Wilmington Health.
One of the great things about the coronavirus is that we have significantly accelerated telemedicine. We have been trying to do telemedicine as a nation for years, and we've just hit hurdle after hurdle. And thanks to the coronavirus, all those hurdles were dropped, and we were able to do telemedicine literally within a week.
Jen Pollard, Director of Practice Operations for NHRMC Physician Group, agrees. The coronavirus sped up the process for virtual appointments.
Bobby Dorsch manages the Piggly Wiggly grocery store in Leland. As soon as the guidelines for retailers included plexiglass dividers at cashier stations, Dorsch found what he needed at a Home Depot store and built the dividers himself.
I got those up pretty early on in the process.
Like other grocery store chains, his Piggly Wiggly has markings on the floor to indicate 6-foot intervals. And Dorsch says he encourages his staff to wear masks.
Although we weren't forcing anybody to do it, some people just really bothered them.
Other grocery store chains tell WHQR they are requiring their employees to wear masks, including Harris Teeter, Costco, The Fresh Market, and Lowe's Foods. In a message posted on its website, Food Lion says it provides masks to employees but does not require their use. Dr. Paul Kamitska is hospital epidemiologist at New Hanover Regional Medical Center.
Tolerance for pain. Leah Mayo, coordinator of the Center for Healthy Communities at UNCW, says change will require a team-based approach and asking the patient the right questions.
So diabetes, for example, if you're just meeting with the physician, the diabetes, they may wonder, well, why can't you manage your diabetes? And it's because they're not asking those questions like, do you have housing? Do you have food? Do you have so-and-so? But if you have a social worker or public health person in that space, they could potentially field those questions and help connect that person to resources.
The novel coronavirus does not target people of color because of any genetic predisposition. It's social determinants of health, factors like housing and food insecurity, lack of quality health care, and these implicit biases.
The initial plan for the proposed $206 million budget was the inclusion of road and infrastructure improvement projects, a transportation bond, and stronger affordable housing initiatives. But with COVID-19 causing uncertainty and possible revenue shortfalls ahead, Mayor Bill Sasso says city leaders had to cut those items. Funds for law enforcement and emergency response services, which make up 50% of the budget, will stay the same. Mayor Sasso defended that decision as nationwide protests against police brutality call for reducing funds for law enforcement.
We haven't had any kind of discussion about cutting any kind of funding
for policing until the incident that unfolded in Minneapolis with
Customers are now eating on Front Street, literally.
We'll be expanding our outside dining seating area by 4 additional tables. So.
Ellie Craig is with Front Street Brewery on Front Street.
So that's going to allow us to bring an additional server and an additional staff member on to clean each shift that we're open for outside dining.
Other restaurant owners agree. The move helps customers and gets restaurant workers back on the job. Again, Ellie Craig.
In this industry, it will really help a lot of us out. People like Beer Barrio up the street that are just doing outdoor seating right now, for them to be able to expand this out on the street will truly be monumental in terms of the revenue that they'll be able to bring in.
The program will be in effect Thursdays and Fridays from 5:30 p.m. to 10 p.m., Saturdays 9 a.m. to 10 p.m., and Sundays 9 a.m. to 10 p.m.
I am concerned.
Mandy Cohen, Secretary of North Carolina's Department of Health and Human Services, says opening schools is a top priority, but the metrics right now are not going in a good direction. In fact, says Dr. Cohen, North Carolina's alarming rise in cases and hospitalizations caught the attention over the weekend of White House Coronavirus Response Coordinator Dr. Deborah Birx.
On Saturday, we reported our highest number of new laboratory-confirmed cases in one day at 1,370 new cases. At the same time, our other key metrics have moved in the wrong direction. COVID-19 hospitalizations are increasing and stand at 739 statewide. The percent of tests that are positive is now among the highest in the nation.
One of the drivers of the increase, says Mandy Cohen, is greater movement by people 2 weeks after the state moved to phase 2 of reopening. State officials say it's especially important for people who have attended protests or any kind of mass gathering to get tested. Cohen also suggests people working in high-risk jobs with lots of foot traffic, such as grocery stores or meat processing facilities, get tested as soon as possible. It's hard to get a handle on the virus, says Cohen, in part because of the 2-week incubation period and because people can spread the virus without having any symptoms. Rachel Lewis Hilburn, WHQR News.
This is WHQR News.